הרב דני קש,
קטרה קש, שקיפה, חוף וב סבן, תוך שם פי ה.
Bevach, everyone. It's always a pleasure for me to return to this space of Medrash. And Baruch Hashem, 40 years ago, I was zocheh to daven in this hall with the newly founded Shaarei Torah Yeshiva. You may remember they used to daven here. And standing just a few feet away, actually, from the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, Zichron Livracha. So to be back in the hall is a tremendous zechus and brings back very special memories. I'm not sure if I was called up Cohen that time that I was there or not, but as far as I know, as far as we know in our family, for generations now, we've been considering ourselves as Cohenim. And of course, Parshas Korach is a time for people to consider Matnas Kohuna, what you're going to give to your favorite Cohen. Mitzvah Shem Shiyabonu Beis Hamikdash Meherov Yomeinu. I'll give you my name and address, and I hope Mitzvah Shem, Mitzvah Shem. But Matnas Kohuna is something which, even though historically there are very few of the Matnas Kohuna which are available still today, Pidyon HaBen is one of the famous exceptions. I remember when I was 20 years old, my father bought me 5 silver coins. And he said to me, the Gemara tells us that there's a chiyuv to help a child with panosa. So here's 5 Pidyon HaBen coins. Amitz Hashem, it will help you with panosa as well. And a few years later, one of my Talmidim, who was Baruch Hashem, a very comfortable individual, he had his firstborn son, and he says to me, Rabbi Kirsch, I'd like to be the Kohen, to be part of the Ben. So I was obviously very touched for the opportunity. When I arrived at the Pidyon HaBen, he's a very comfortable individual. When I arrived at the Pidyon HaBen in St. John's Wood Shul, I have never seen a breakfast spread like this in my life, ever. The caterer is somebody by the name of Tony Page. I cannot even begin to imagine what it was going to cost him per head for the Suda. Extraordinary. So I said to him, this looks like quite a breakfast you put on. So he says, Zeke Levi, I'm only going to do this mitzvah once. He said, I want to do it as best as I possibly can. Very good. So we do our little discussions before the Pidyon HaBen, and he gives me a very large wad of cash for my 5 silver coins. Of course, had he had his own 5 silver coins, he could have been paid his ben with that. But the custom is, the Kohen has his coins, and he gives me an exceptionally large wad of cash for the 5 silver coins, of which it was £1,800. So I said to him, I think you've got a problem over here. There's no honor on that. I can discuss it separately if you want. I'll let the Lamdonim discuss that. I said the cost of the silver is £75, £90, whatever it is. I said, you know what? Why are you giving me £1,800? He says, Zekeli Vamveu. Now, it's not poshut that he's right, by the way. Zekeli Vamveu is I've shined my silver coins or something like that. It's an interesting shaila. But the point of the conversation was he wants to do the mitzvah in the best way possible. So I said, look, I'll accept £75 for the silver. Should you wish to pay for my holidays, that's up to you. But there's 2 separate dinners. There's a dinner, mitzvah Pidyon HaBen. My rov is Rabbi Knopfler in Golders Green, and Rebero Knopfler. And I once, having been involved, Baruch Hashem, with Balei Tshuva most of my life, we once did 3 different Pidyon HaBen on the same place, all of older people who recognized that they hadn't had the Pidyon HaBen done to them when they were children, and now was an opportunity to correct this mistake, and as we know, they were paid to themselves. Interesting enough, the first thing you have to do is find out whether their fathers actually wanted to be paid to their mature adult sons as well. Very interesting shaila. In this particular case, they didn't, and the reality was they were all paid to themselves. But what was relevant is that at the Suda, where one was 23, one was 24, one was 25, Rabbi Knopfler was very excited to be part of this unique mitzvah, especially because 2 weeks later I invited him to the engagement of one of the boys. who he'd just been at the pidyon abin from. He said, you know, I've never seen it. Kashem shenignas the pidyon keni kunas. It's happened very, very quickly. And sometimes you have no idea how quickly these mitzvahs can take place. And of course, one of the matnas kohuna is the mitzvah to give challah, the obligation of challah, connecting the end of last week's sedra to this week's sedra. The Oznaim Torah asks a fascinating question on the mitzvah of challah. But before we get into, I really understand the depth of his question, just a few minutes about the power and the energy of challah. And of course, you may have been around your Shabbos table, perhaps some of the grandchildren came in with little challah that they produced in school, because they're very, very, very traditional at this time of year that teachers educate their children, of course, in the mitzvah of challah. But it's fascinating, because even though I mentioned right at the very beginning that sadly, of course, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, there are many, many things that we do to this very day, and I'm going to particularly mention now with regards to bread, which are directly linked to the Beis HaMikdash. And actually, you're living a Beis HaMikdash life right now every time you have a sandwich. You're living a Beis HaMikdash life right now every time you wash your hands from Moitzi. So we all know that a person, when they wake up in the morning, the first thing they do is they wash their hands. And then they get their wife a coffee. But the first thing they do is they wash their hands, and that's the water yidn da, moed andi lefonecha, Baruch Hashem. And Chazal tell us very clearly the various reasons why you have to wash your hands. Tumah, cleanliness, etc., etc. But there's another reason, which a lot of people aren't aware of. And that is because the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, before they were allowed to do any avoda, used to wash their hands and feet. And only then were they allowed to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Hirsch, by the way, points out, washing the hands and the feet. He says, because the feet symbolize taking you to where you need to be in life. Wash your hands. Wash your feet first. Wash your feet. And then, when you've got there, you have to do what you've gone to do. You symbolize the washing of the feet because everybody is going on a journey. They have to arrive somewhere. But when you get there, you have to do what you're supposed to do. And the hands represent the obligation to turn the thoughts into action. When a person washes their hands in the morning, what am I going to do with you today? Just like the Kohen, when he worked in the Beis HaMikdash, what am I going to do with you today? Including, what am I going to do as a vehicle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha through his hands? But all of us are vehicles for HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the hands that he's given us and the actions we're going to do. In fact, the first also points out that before Maamad HaSinai, we got our credo, the principle which guides everything that a Yid lives by, that we are a mamleches kayanim v'goy kodosh. And even though kayanim are part of Shevet Levi, Klal Yisrael are called a mamleches kayanim v'goy kodosh. What does it mean to be a mamleches kayanim? That we all have to serve. That's the purpose of the Kohen. He's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's serving Klal Yisrael as a vehicle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all of us are a mamleches Kohenim. So whether you're part of Shevet Levi or not, when you wake up in the morning and you wash your hands, you're reminding yourselves, I'm a Kohen. My home could be my Beis HaMikdash, my life, my work, my Beis HaMikdash. And I'm part of a mamleches Kohenim where every single Yid is supposed to serve the Goy Kodosh. And then, of course, it comes for we're going to wash again for bread, and Chazal tell us that one of the reasons that you and everybody in this room is going to wash for bread is because of a reminder at the time the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohenim had to be on a level of tahara, tumah, truma, etc., etc. They had to be prepared to ensure that the food that they're consuming it in a tahar way. So 2,000 years came out later. Every time you wash your hands, you're reminding yourself of the privilege of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which will one day return, but now I'm washing my hands to remind myself of that. And then, of course, as I'm about to make a motzi, I have some salt on the table. You have to have salt. Just, what? Because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they had salt on every korban. Therefore, when I'm eating lunch, when I'm eating breakfast, I have salt on my table. Yes! Because you're building a mikdash ma'at. A mikdash ma'at is not something we simply say by a wedding drosha. A mikdash ma'at is not something we wish somebody when they get married. Mikdash ma'at is a 24/7. My home is a beis hamikdash. My home is a mokum kodosh. And therefore, when I am about to make hamotzi, I put the salt on the table because my table is a mizbeach. And says the Mishnah Berurah, brings down the Gemara Brachas, Mizvan shebeis hamikdash kayam, mizbeach mechapa. Achshav, now we no longer have a beis hamikdash. Shulchanu shel adam is mechaper. Your dining room table acts as a mokum kapara. In 2025, there's no mizbeach, but you have a dining room table. You have a kitchen table, which is probably one of the reasons why our parents and grandparents said you don't sit on the table. You don't sit mizbeach. Don't sit on the table. We're about to eat a meal, and on the table we put the salt, then we go and wash, and then we make a hamotzi. I remember actually once going on a Friday night to another Mancunian, of Yaakov Hillel, who was August and Stark in his house in Alzeabir, and eating with him on a Friday night. Interesting enough, he has 12 challahs on his table. Lechem aponim. Lechem aponim. To remind yourself of Lechem Aponim. And those who know the Gemara and the Mishnais, which talk about how the Kohenim swapped Lechem Aponim, which was the bread we're talking about, the fresh bread, the nes of the chal, the nes of the So it comes to making hamotzi, I saw something very interesting. He took the lechem and he dips it three times in the salt. Three times in the salt. So I decided to ask him afterwards, you know, can ask the Rosh Hashiva, why three times in the salt? So he says to me, the gematria of the word lechem is 78. And of course, the same oisis, mem lamed ches, a salt. And he says, and everything I do, I want to bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu into my life. And yud ke vav ke is gematria 26. And 3 times 26 is 78. In front of the math, yud ke vav ke 26. 3 times 26 is 78. And therefore, I'm dipping my bread 3 times into the salt. To remind myself of Yud Kei Vov Kei on my Mizbeach when I'm about to eat my dinner. And I realized a little while later that the same Oisius Lamed, which make Lechem, Lamed Ches Mem, and salt, Mem Lamed Ches, also have the same word, Mem Ches Lamed, Mechila, to be Meichel. And who knows, if we eat properly, we bench properly, we wash properly, we focus our attention of what I'm going to do with the renewed energy I have from my bread, who knows what the power of the mechila we're getting on our Mizbeach in 2025, on our Mizbeach in 2025. And of course, then we hold the bread in all 10 fingers, and the Mishnah Berurah brings down. There's a mitzvah, there's 10 mitzvahs, 10 mitzvahs! Involved in getting this bread from its very beginning when the seeds are sown and you can't take different animals, an ox and an ass, and plow the field together. And there are 10 mitzvahs, like when you sow the seeds and you can't put vine seeds together with your wheat seeds. And there's 10 mitzvahs which talk all the way to the trumas and the maisus and the peah and the leket and the shikha. There's 10 mitzvahs on one loaf of bread. 10 mitzvahs. Mitzvah Shem, we look forward to an opportunity that Deraisa, we're going to have the opportunity to perform all of those mitzvahs in their totality. And of course, interesting enough, in this week's schedule, we learn a very interesting point about exactly in Trumas and Maisos, what are the Deraisas and what are the Derabonas. Because you'll notice in this week's schedule, where it's talking about giving Trumas and Maisos, it specifically talks about wheat, oil, and wine. Interesting enough, which is connected to last week's Sedra, because immediately after the Meraglim do the Avera, Rav Shraub points out that the Sochim, which are bought now with different Korbanos, also bring on every Korban wheat, wine, and oil, fascinatingly. And of course, when we're saying Kriya Shema, and we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving Matat Sochem, we also say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you in your Dogon, your Sirosh, and your Yitzhak. Fascinatingly enough. And we're looking forward to a time where the primary obligations are giving Trumas and Maisos, and once again, but everybody agrees, when it comes to my bread, when it comes to my dough, it's a transformational experience. I have the obligation to set aside and give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ask Zalman Sorotskin the following point. He says, the concept of giving Trumas and Maisus, the concept of giving something from mine and separating and giving a percentage to the Kohen, a percentage to the Levi, and we'll talk if we have time, other percentages as well, that concept is an obligation once and once only on the product. In other words, if I've got grapes and I farm my grapes and I have an orchard and I bring the grapes in, and then I have to, when I get them into my warehouse or wherever it is, I have to separate an amount and give it appropriately. But you do it just once. This is very, very interesting. The din of challah is a very unusual mitzvah. I took my tax, as if to say. And by the way, when I was asked to give the shir, I wasn't sure if I give a title or not. And my title would have been The Joy of Paying Tax. Now, I'm getting some strange looks here from some of you. But it would have been The Joy of Giving Tax. By the way, there's a sign in the tax office, just if anybody's not sure. And the sign says, we have what it takes to take what you have. But I'm talking now about the joy of giving tax, as you're about to see. The Zohar Torah says, what's very strange about the mitzvah of challah is you give trumas and maisrus, you give a chelik of what you've got to the kohen, to the levi, when it's wheat, when you've turned it into your flour, when at some stage, whenever it is. And then, with the self-same thing you've already taxed, you mix a bit of water, a bit of yeast to it, you make it into a dough, nochamor, you've got to give another tax. And he says, it's half of a fell, it doesn't make sense. Why? He says, because in the non-Jewish world, the one thing they don't tax is bread. And what we're doing is double taxing bread. He says, not only that, in emerging nations, the one thing they'll do is they'll subsidize bread to make it cheap for everybody to eat and enjoy. Some of you may remember 50 years ago in Eretz Yisrael, they subsidized bread. And amongst other things, cottage cheese and other such goodies. But they subsidized bread because the one common denominator that everybody needs is they need to have the basics. They need to have bread. You have to have bread. And therefore, in an emerging nation where people may not have the money, they have nothing, at least the bread will be cheaper and at least the bread we're willing to subsidize. Says Zalman Sorotskin, so Hafla Vefela, in mitzvahs, it goes mamish lehefech. And when it comes to challah, you've taxed it once, you tax it again. Now again, today, it's a reminder when a woman takes challah, it's a reminder of what once was, but nevertheless, the concept is mind-boggling. Says Zalman Sorotskin, a most extraordinary insight. And he says, let me tell you about the joy of giving trumas and maisus. Let me tell you about the joy of the opportunity to share your brachas and ensure that those brachas are given to those who are mashash and those who serve HaKadosh Baruch. He says, we've got a haftocha, and the haftocha is aseh bishvil shetis aseh. You give maisa, you're going to be the greatest beneficiary. Now again, in the non-Jewish world, this doesn't work too well. I've got 100. I gave away, I don't know, approximately 20%. Let's just say how all the maisers go. Approximately 20%. I give it all away, some of which I'll benefit from, but I give away 20%. I'm left with 80%. He says, and you say to him, yeah, the 80% is that's going to be worth much more than the 100 you started with. He says, no. Say that again? Yeah. That what's going to make you really, really rich is that you gave away the 10 or the 20%. And the 80% you're left with, that's what's going to grow and develop. Of course, we know this to be the case. Says Zalman Sorotskin, pillar plant. He says, let me explain to you what it means for a yid to give of his brachas and to share, to give his maisus. What it means is that because bread is so essential, and because everybody needs bread, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to have to tax this twice. Why? Because it's so important, you're going to have to tax it twice. You have to tax it when it's kemach, you get a brocha. You have to tax it once again when it's bread, you get a double brocha. Because a yid knows if you want to have brocha in your home, he brings a posuk from Yecheskel. Yecheskel Novi says, when you give trumas and maisus to the Kohen, that which will bring you a brocha in your home, a brocha in your house. I have a friend of mine said I can mention his name. His name's Daniel Lyons, because it's such an amazing story. And he was having difficulty selling a home. He wanted to move into a slightly more Hamishia area, and he was having difficulty selling his home. The estate agent phones him up and says, I've got a buyer. It's a Friday morning. A Friday morning, you have a buyer in your house. The home's in a little bit of a tumult, right? Anyway, this non-religious buyer comes into the house. As he comes into the house, oh, there's something special about this house. There's something unusual about this home. Mrs. Lyons was baking challah for Shabbos. With a brocha noch. Oh, there's something special about this home. And the buyer fell in love with the house and he bought the house. So if anybody's thinking of selling the house, make sure you bake challahs. You never know the brochas that could come to your home. Cheskel HaNovi makes the promises. You separate challah, brochas come to your home. I don't know if the estate agents want to use this as a selling option or not. Our daughter, on the way to giving birth in Yerushalayim, this will only happen, I think, in Yerushalayim. Our daughter, on the way to giving birth in Yerushalayim, was going with a labor coach to Shaare Tzedek, or wherever it is that she was going to have the baby. And on the way there, the labor coach said, excuse me, but we'll just make a short little detour. We're just going back by my house. Fine, going back by the house, very nice. My daughter's on the way to have a baby. Just a little detour. Okay, it won't be long. In those days, the traffic was much easier in Yerushalayim. They go past the labor coach's home. Her daughter comes running out with a bowl of freshly kneaded challah and says to my daughter, the labor coach says to my daughter, be mafresh challah, make a brocha. Yeah, it's fine, makes a brocha, mafresh challah. Now we can go to hospital and have the baby. Baruch Hashem. I'm not recommending this, but challah's got a dimension to it, an energy to it, but don't think you're giving away. You're not giving away. You're going to be the greatest recipient. You have no imagination the blessings that you're going to have from it. Rav Schwab points out, interesting enough, in last week's Seder, a very fascinating question, and one which, frankly, some of the things that we do on a regular basis, we don't necessarily think about. I remember once hearing one of my teachers, Rav Zev Leff, point out how extraordinary it is when you actually look at what benching is. A mitzvah deraisa! Mitzvah deraisa! To bench! Now, as we get a little bit older, sometimes we forget our after brochas, don't we? No, maybe present company not. Like, did I make a brocha? Did I bench? Did I brush my teeth? Well, we begin to forget a little bit. Mitzvah deraisa! A benching! Did I say it? Did I not say it? I'm not sure how many mitzvah deraisas you have in your lives, but we do whatever we can to try and remember. By the way, as I've got older, I've got a little secret here. I'm happy to share it with some friends. And that is, if the plate's in front of me, I haven't made an after brocha. As I've said the after brocha, I move the plate to my side. Little simon here, which works for me. Please God, I'm happy to share my experience with you. Rav Leff says, if you just analyze what Birchas HaMazon is, take time out to appreciate it. An extraordinary opportunity to really dig deep into it. Of course, those who understand the power of what the mon was and the nace of the mon, of panos and food, will realize that the first paragraph of the benching was as a reminder of the gratitude that Moshe Rabbeinu had for Klal Yisrael for the mon. So when you're benching, you're talking about the nace of panos. It goes on and on and on. I have to come another time. But Rav Shimon Schwab tells us about a fascinating encounter or a vort that he heard from the Briskerov. And he asked the following question, which is, when we say an ala michya, which, by the way, is extraordinary because an ala michya is one of the only tefillahs, only prayers which will change if it's an Eretz Yisrael dikah brocha, which is involved in there as well. Which means that if these are Eretz Yisrael dikah wine, you say ala gafna, not ala geffen. But that's a fascinating subject, all of its own right, why that should be. But anyway. He says the following, very interesting. If you look at the brocha of Alamichya, which is Me'ein Sholosh, which is a somehow composite of benching, in the after brocha we say as follows, Le'echol mepiyo v'nisvoy metuva, to eat the fruits of Eretz Yisrael and to be satiated by its goodness. Eat the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. And of course, he writes there a Shrab about what those fruits were, the power which was invested in the fruits. And he goes into great detail to describe to us The neshama, which was in the fruits of Eretz Yisrael as well. Everything that was within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael has halachas to it, mitzvahs to it. There's a spiritual energy. As the Meraglim brought back these extraordinary fruits. Yeah, because the Eretz Yisrael fruits, they are extraordinary and they will make extraordinary people. And there'll be a degree of spiritual and physical satisfaction which will only happen in Eretz Yisrael. Ask the Brisker of the following question. So how come that in benching the following is not repeated, but in Alamichia it is? How come we say V'neyu Shlaim Yekodesh Meheir of Yomeinu V'aleyu Socha V'sam Chenu V'nyon V'nachol Mipiyo V'nispo Metuva? We've just said at the beginning of the Alamichia, Le'echol Mepiyo V'nispo Metuva. All of a sudden we're repeating exactly the same words. Kimat, the tense is slightly different. Why are you repeating in the middle of Alamichia the same thing you've already said before? That's the Brisker Rav's Shlaim. And interesting enough, present company excluded, when I speak to people and I say it over, they go, oh yeah, I never thought about that. Mitzvah. Many say Alamichia is a mitzvah deraisa as well. Main Sholosh. I never thought about that. Really, never thought about that. Okay. You thought about covering the chalas on your Shabbos table so as not to embarrass the wine, and that's a lovely and sweet and important minhag. But you didn't think about benching, which is a mitzvah deraisa, and alamichia, which is, okay, there's something get a little confusing sometimes there. Says the Brisker Rav, an incredible insight. What does he say to us? The first description as lechom mepiyav lispar metuvah is in Eretz Yisrael. There's a koyach of the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. You'll enjoy them. It will have a power of satisfaction beyond imagination. The second is Uvenei Yerushalayim. We're asking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that once again we should be zeicha to a rebuilding of Yerushalayim. V'al Yerushalayim erech, v'al tzim mishkan kvadech, v'al mizbechech, v'al echalecho. Uvenei Yerushalayim erech HaKadosh b'mehir Rav Yomeinu. And when Yerushalayim is rebuilt, there are going to be mitzvahs on food which can only be done in Yerushalayim. You'll have Netzer Ravai, you'll have Maisa Shaini. These are mitzvahs which are not Eretz Yisrael Dika mitzvahs. These are mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael plus you have to have a rebuild, you have to be in Yerushalayim. And then you can give Maisa Shaini. And the Maisa Shaini that you give and you eat, that you and your family consume in Yerushalayim, that's another level of Nechol Mepiyav Nispa Metuva. In other words, the mitzvahs, the power, the energy of what Eretz Yisrael and all the mitzvahs in comfort on it have is one level. And then Uvenei Yerushalayim, B'mehir of Yomei, there's another level which goes beyond. And interesting enough, I started by talking about the fact that we're all Kohanim. And of course it is the fact that the Kohanim are blessed with the opportunity to receive these brachas. But I also mentioned that we all are Mamlechas Kohanim Agoy Kodosh. Here's a beautiful example of how Klal Yisrael have to separate Trumas and Maisa, have to separate a Maisa Sheni. But the rule is you separate it as a tax to give it to yourself. Now, how many taxes in the world of the non-Jewish world are separated to give it to us? Oh, by the way, we want you to give it to yourself and want you to eat in a very specific place. Says the Sefer Chinuch, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incentivizing you. Because wherever your money is, you're going to want to go. He's incentivizing you to go to Yerushalayim, to be involved in the spiritual energy which only Yerushalayim has, to connect with Kedusha, which is available there on a special... And therefore he'll say to you, you pay a tax that you have to pay yourself. Yemirtz Hashem, we shall all be zeicha, to speedily pay the ultimate best taxes, and you will be the happiest people in the world as a result of paying your taxes. In favor of your main, you thank you.
Oh, thanks. Oh, yeah. I I got the first one. I said that. Wow, I wish I could have heard you first.
I'm not going to be able to do that.